Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing and actually concluding a teaching that I've been doing for 4 weeks. This is based on a new book that we have entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. For 4 weeks, I've been teaching through this, and today is my last day to offer this new book and the accompanying study guide that goes with it. And I've said this a lot, but I just really believe that this has the potential of blessing your life and allowing you to be a blessing to someone else as much as anything I've ever put out. I've got 16 books on all of these subjects, and this book just devotes one chapter to each of these 16 books. It gives a brief summary. And this study guide goes through, of course, all 16 of these chapters, and it just gives a brief overview. And I believe that this is going to spark discussion. It's going to deal with all of these different major topics in the Bible, and I believe that it really has a tremendous potential for those of you who want to take this and disciple somebody else. I tell you, the most important thing we can do is to share our faith with others and to do a Bible study. This is what I call discipleship for dummies, because you can't miss it. You just read a page or 2 pages worth of these radical statements that are so different than tradition, and then you have a list of questions. And with the questions, there's a scripture that you look up that basically answers the question. You just read the question, read the scripture. It answers itself. There's a section that is the teacher's guide that gives you more input so that you might be able to bring some more things into the discussion. But it's just basically a discussion about these scriptures, and it teaches these truths themselves. It's a tremendous way to get these truths across. And remember that today is my last day to make these materials available over our television program. So please go to the effort. You know, right now you could call in and get this, but I encourage you to please do this because I think it'll bless you. I know that there's some of you that would like to get it and yet you forget it and you just don't ever get around to doing it. Do something now and request these materials. They'll help you. Today, the last teaching, chapter number 16 in this book, is about self-centeredness, the root of all grief. And you know, in a sense, this could have been the very first teaching if you were going to do things sequentially the way that I experienced the Lord. Some of you have heard my testimony. I won't go into the whole thing, but I got born again when I was 8, but I became very religious. I didn't mean to. It just happened. And I got to where I was like a Pharisee, thinking that God was going to reward me based on how holy I lived. It caused me to be judgmental of other people. And I mean, I was trying hard. I lived a holier life than most people that I knew. And yet it was never enough. And I was frustrated. And then on March the 23rd, 1968, God showed up in a prayer meeting at midnight, Saturday night. And it's just like the Lord removed the veil from my eyes. And instead of thinking that I was so holy and I was doing so good that now God would move in my life, now God would answer my prayer, I saw myself, and again, I'm not a masochist with this. I don't hate myself, but I saw myself in comparison to the holiness and the purity of Jesus. And I tell you what, it just caused me to abhor all of this self-righteousness. And anyway, I could spend a lot of time on this, but what happened was I died to myself. I dealt with it. I turned from myself. I repented. I turned myself inside out. I repented of all of this stuff. And my theology at the time was that God is the one who judges people. I was told God's the one that took my dad, and that God puts sickness on you to teach you things, and He gives you what you deserve. And for the first time in my life, I knew that I didn't deserve anything from God. And when I saw it, I thought it was the first time God had seen it. And I seriously expected God to kill me right then. I know some of you think I'm exaggerating, but the theology that I had, I thought that God certainly would kill me when he saw how sorry and ungodly I was. And so I just repented of everything I could think of, expecting to die, but I was at least going to mention everything so that hopefully he'd accept me into heaven. I wouldn't go to hell. And to my surprise, after I got through repenting of all this self-righteousness and stuff, I just had said everything there was to say. There was nothing left to confess. And to my surprise, instead of wrath or rejection, I had a supernatural love just flow over me. I knew that God loved me, and I knew that His love didn't have a thing to do with me deserving it. For the first time in my life, I knew I didn't deserve anything from God. And yet here was this pure and holy love that I have no words to describe what it was like. For 4.5 months, I was just gone someplace. I was caught up in the love of God. And it was wonderful, but it was confusing at the same time because I didn't deserve it. And after 4.5 months, the emotion wore off. I no longer felt the same. And I was beginning to struggle about what did I do to cause God to love me like that? What did I do to make it leave? What do I have to do to get it back? And this really set me on a road of studying. And praise God, I got drafted and sent to Vietnam, because in Vietnam, all I had to do was sit in a bunker 15, 16 hours a day and just read the Bible. That's all I could do. And as I did, the Word of God began to start teaching me about how it is that God loves us. And it's based on who I am in Christ and not based on myself. And it just changed my life. But the point I wanted to bring out is that when I dealt with this selfishness, this self-centeredness, this self-righteousness, I mean, God just knocked it out of me. I still don't understand exactly how all of this happened, but I'm telling you, this is what happened. I just lost this self-love and this self-worth that so many people talk about. I still see myself as valuable because God loved me. And if God loved me, that gives value to me. If God placed value on me, well, then I can accept that. But I quit this self-love, this self-centeredness. I actually now esteem Christ in me, but it changed me. It just like somebody took things out of my life. And here's the point I'm trying to get across by sharing all of this, that it is our self-centeredness that's the root of all grief. If you weren't so focused on yourself and in love with yourself, did you know that most of what Satan desires to do in your life would just cease to have any power at all? The Scripture says we're supposed to die to ourselves. If you took a corpse, and if a corpse was laying in front of me, I could spit on that corpse or insult the corpse. I could kick the corpse. I could slap the corpse. I could ignore the corpse. And if it's a corpse, it doesn't care. If you were truly dead to yourself, what people say about you wouldn't get you off track. You wouldn't get depressed and defeated. You wouldn't be hurt and damaged. You wouldn't have the same problems that most people have. The reason we have them is because we are so self-centered. And having to have the approval of other people is so important to ourselves. The Apostle Paul spoke about it in Philippians chapter 1, and he was talking about being in prison. And he says, man, it's wonderful because what's happened to me has worked out to the furtherance of the gospel. Now everybody in Caesar's household has heard the gospel. Did you know most people wouldn't have taken Paul's approach because they would have been self-centered, selfish. They would have thought, but I'm in prison and it's unjust and it took me 2 years to get here and I was shipwrecked and nearly died and they're possibly going to put me to death and I could be executed for preaching the gospel. And we would be so self-centered and self-focused that we would have been just depressed and discouraged. And yet Paul was just the opposite. He was rejoicing and praising God. Why? Because the gospel and other people were more important than himself. That's the reason he was able to do it. And he said there in Philippians chapter 1, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, if we really took the attitude that the Apostle Paul had, and if we were so in love with God and so in love with other people that it didn't matter whether we lived or died. He says, I don't care whether Christ is magnified by my life or by my death. I'm actually in a strait between two. I had rather depart and go to be with Christ, but I know it's more needful for me to stay here. And so he says, I'll stay here for your sake so that I can bless you. But when you die to yourself and you love God so much that you're actually more excited about going to heaven than you are about staying here, you can't intimidate a person like that. See, they came to Paul and they said, if you don't quit preaching the gospel, we're going to kill you. I could just imagine Paul reaching up and hugging them saying, awesome for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And when they see that that doesn't stop him, well, then they say, well, then we're going to put you in prison. And he says, wonderful. And he just starts singing praises at midnight, like in Acts chapter 16. And God sends an earthquake and delivers them. And he praises God. Well, then we're going to let you go. And they let him go. And he says, wonderful, I'll go tell people about God. How do you intimidate a person? How do you hurt a person like that? But on the other hand, you take a self-centered person who it's all about them and they've got their plans and their little nest and everything's all about them. And the doctor tells them they're going to die and they just fall apart like a $2 suitcase and start crying. They'll sing, they'll go to church and sing, when we all get to heaven, what a day that's going to be. And then the doctor tells you you're going and you start crying. Something's wrong here. Now, I'm not saying that we don't be good stewards and do what we need to do here, but I am saying that, you know what, really, it's our self-love that makes us so vulnerable to everything that Satan is doing. If you die to yourself, it just doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter if you live or die. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Those things just don't matter if self isn't the center of your universe. Here's another truth. I'm going to turn over and read this to you because some of you wouldn't believe that this is in the Bible. But in Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 10, the scripture says, only by pride comes contention. Now, most people don't agree with that. They might not be bold enough to say, oh, I don't believe the Bible. But most people would sit there and say, hey, that's not the only reason I have contention. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14 says, contention is the beginning of strife. That's a paraphrase of that verse. But you could say that only by pride comes contention, or only by pride comes strife. And there's people that say, no, I'm angry because what this person did. You don't know what they did to me. Or some people will say, you don't know, this is my type of personality. I'm an A type of personality. And they blame it on their genes. There's people that blame it on their hormones. There's people that blame it on what this person did and this. And there's all of these different things about what it is that upsets you and makes you angry. The Bible says, Proverbs 13:10, only by pride comes contention or strife. And that word only, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means only. Amen. This means this is the only thing that makes you angry is pride. You know, I heard a man heard me say this one time. This has been 25 years ago. And he marched up to me. He was a little Hispanic man. And he says, look, I got all kinds of problems. I'm not sitting here promoting myself. But pride isn't one of them. He says, if anything, I've got a poor self-image. I'm an introvert. He says, I can hardly stand and talk to people. I just think so badly of myself. I don't have pride, and yet I've got a violent temper. He says, that scripture cannot be true. Well, it is true. But see, we have to redefine some things. Pride isn't only arrogance, thinking you're better than everybody else. But pride is also thinking you're worse than anybody else. Now, see, most people don't accept that because they think of pride as being some type of exaltation. It's like you have a stick. You know, there's two ends on a stick, and they're both opposites. And one end might be arrogance, but the opposite end, but the same stick, the same thing, is low self-esteem. Did you know that that is pride? Some people think, well, how do you figure that? Because pride, and it's at its core, if you break it down, it's just self-centeredness. Focus on self. And it doesn't matter if self thinks you're better than everybody else. That's one manifestation. But another manifestation is thinking you're worse than everybody else. That's also pride. It's self-centered. And I can say this with a lot of conviction because I was an introvert. I couldn't look at a person in the face and talk to them. I mean, I was severely handicapped in this area. And some people would think, well, that was just your personality type. No, you know what it was? I was self-centered. I was afraid of what people were going to think about me. The reason I couldn't talk to other people and say something, it was because I was afraid I was going to mess up. Some of you have watched our television program, and you know what? I say things that if I was God, I wouldn't have chosen me to do what I'm doing. I'm not the slickest talker. I'm a hick from Texas. I don't say things as well as other people do. And I used to be embarrassed and ashamed about that until I figured out that God used a donkey one time, and it wasn't because the donkey had been fasting and praying or was well polished. Amen. God can use a dog. God can use anybody. And I figured, well, praise God, I qualify. But I could tell you why I wouldn't talk to people. It's because I was afraid I'd say something stupid and people would make fun of me, that it would make me look bad. And it was all about self. There are some of you watching this program that God has touched your life in a significant way. You've been saved and forgiven. Maybe you've been healed. Maybe your marriage has been put together. You've had a financial miracle. You've got things that God has done in your life that could just really be a blessing to people. And yet, if I was to ask you to come on television and share with the potential of 2.8 billion people who are watching this program and tell them what Jesus has done for you, there are some of you that have things that could really bless people, but you would just freeze. You would panic. And you know why? Because you'd be thinking, what are they going to think about me? How am I going to look? How will I be perceived? I'm telling you, you can call it timidity, you can call it shyness, you can write it off to your personality type, but the bottom line of it is, it's self-centered. That's shyness is self-centeredness. You're a very self-centered person. You think everybody is thinking about you, when the truth is, people don't think about you near as much as you think they do. But you're self-centered. And so, my point for saying all of this, the Scripture says only by pride comes contention or strife. Some of you may think, oh, I'm not arrogant. I don't have pride. But are you self-centered? Are you timid or shy? Are you sitting there always thinking about yourself? If you're thinking about yourself, it just dictates how your response is going to be. Your response is based on how you've programmed yourself. And if you are programmed to it all being about you, if you are the center of the universe, if everything has to satisfy you and you have to succeed and you have to come out on top, you're going to be an angry person. Because this whole corrupt world is going to rub you the wrong way. And just like this verse says, only by pride or self-centeredness comes contention and strife. The only thing that makes you angry is the fact that you are so focused on yourself. If you loved other people more than you love yourself, if you loved God more than you love yourself, did you know you could put up with some of the abrasion and the problems that come your way and the people that neglect you and the people that say things and insult you because they're just... It's not that big of a deal. You're dead to yourself. A corpse doesn't react. The reason you react the way you do is because you aren't dead to yourself. Self-centeredness is the root of everything. You know, my brother, when we were growing up, he had a very violent temper. And I mean, he beat me many, many times. I mean, there's times that we'd have to have towels to soak up the blood. And yet my brother... He liked me, and, you know, after he calmed down and after he got over it, he'd always come and apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't realize what I was doing was hurting you. You know what he was doing, in a sense, was validating what the Scriptures say. He was just self-centered. He was only thinking about himself. I did something that he didn't like. It affected him, and it was all about him, and he just got mad. He threw things. He hit. He yelled. He screamed. He did things because, after all, it was all about him. But as soon as his emotions subsided, he saw what he did to me or to somebody else, then he'd say, I'm sorry, and he'd apologize. What that does, that validates, see, that it's your selfishness. You forget everybody else. It's just, look what this person has said to me. When you get to where you realize that the world doesn't revolve around you, that there are people that are more important than you. I know some of you right there just choked on that. It's like you've never allowed that thought to ever come through your life. But you know, there's things more important than you. There's causes that are bigger than you. And when you start looking at things, when self-centeredness isn't the focus of your life, it just diffuses anger. It takes the anger out. You know, there's married couples. There's people right now that you are having problems in your marriage, and you're thinking about, look what they said about me. Look what they did to me. Look how they've treated me. They've not appreciated this. And it's all because you're so self-centered. If you would stop, and if you could just get out of yourself for a moment and think about, why are they that way? You might find out that the reason they're doing what they're doing is because of how badly you treated them. Or maybe it's the way that they were treated by somebody else before and they brought that into the marriage. And maybe it's not malicious at all. Maybe it's just because they've got problems. And when you start seeing things from the other person's side, you know what it does? It just diffuses the anger that's in your heart. I'm telling you, this is a major key to walking with God and with other people, is that you've got to recognize that the sun doesn't rise and set on you, that God is bigger than you are. Other people and what God has called you to do is more important than your self-comfort and you just being indulged. Boy, that's powerful. And this is something that not very many people believe. You know, we were all born selfish. When your mother just had a baby, she may have been up all night long and in labor, and yet you didn't care. You woke the whole hospital up. You woke your whole family up in the middle of the night. You want to be fed. You want your diaper changed. You want whatever you want right then, and you don't give a rip about anybody else. When you're a week old, you're the center of the universe and think that the world revolves around you. And you know what? If you're a week old, I can excuse it. But the problem is some of you are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, and it's still all about you. You're throwing a temper tantrum. Have you ever seen a little kid fall down in the store? Mama, Mama, I want this. And the mom says, no, it'll spoil your dinner. And they just throw a fit. And the parent, because they are self-centered and are more concerned about themselves than they are doing what's right by the child, will give them what the child was crying for, and in a sense, reinforce self and say self can get anything it wants if it's willing to make a big enough scene, if it's willing to throw a big enough fit, and you just reinforce it. And so we grow up, and now we're adult brats that we no longer fall on the floor and scream and cry. We just turn the cold shoulder. We make them sleep in the other bedroom until they suffer a sufficient amount. And we just, all of these different ways of throwing an adult temper tantrum. I'm telling you, just like the scripture says, only by pride comes contention. You can't stop everything out there, but what you can do is deal with what's on the inside of you that makes you so sensitive to everybody else's rejection. And that's what this teaching on self-centeredness, the root of all grief, is about. I tell you, that's powerful. I encourage you to please listen to our announcer and call or write and request this new book and study guide that we're offering. Today's going to be my last day to make this offer on television, so please call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's newest book, titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, is available for a gift of any amount. This book is unlike any other Andrew has ever written. Rather than one topic, it contains 16 of Andrew's most powerful teachings. Each is condensed into a single chapter, making this the most comprehensive collection of life-changing messages we've ever offered. Contact us today to get your copy. Or, if you prefer, you can order Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword on DVD as seen on TV. This series has over 7 hours of life-changing teaching. The entire DVD series is available for a gift of any amount. There's also a new Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword workbook available for a gift of $35 or more. The workbook works well in conjunction with the DVD series, offering the opportunity for deeper study of the biblical principles Andrew presents in his teaching. Or you can get all three of these products by ordering the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package. This package includes the brand new book, the As Seen on TV DVD series, and the workbook. The entire package has a catalog value of $79. But today, you can get the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package for a gift of just $69 or more. A single DVD containing the fourth week's broadcast of this series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth DVD free of charge.
Let me remind you once again that today is the last day to offer you this new book entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword and also this study guide. And you know, we also have the DVDs from these television programs where I taught on these things briefly. You could take the DVD and substitute it for the couple of pages of written material. You could watch the brief DVD and then have the questions and a discussion, and that would be a tremendous way to teach it. But this is going to turn out to be one of our best discipleship tools that I think we have. And so I encourage you to please call or write. Today is our last day to make the book, the study guide, and the DVDs available. So please call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma this week for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through the 7th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock Church of Atlanta, May 8th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I believe that God wants us to physically be well and to have prosperity and feel these things in the physical realm, but it all starts in the Spirit, and faith is the way that that comes from the Spirit into the physical realm. And if you can't believe for something that you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel, then you are shutting off the flow of God through you into the physical realm.
Join Andrew Womack for the Atlanta, Georgia Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through 7th. Log on to awmi.net for more information.